Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with State Senator Pat Spearman. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Brian Wachter and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program State Senator Pat Spearman. Great to have you back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
And we're taping this in your office at the legislature. Tell us about this bill that you got passed out of the Senate yesterday in consequence of LBG.
Senate Bill 148, and what it actually does is it puts in place a infrastructure, if you will, for the Department of Veterans Affairs to help assist in any way that they can veterans who were discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, veterans who were discharged even before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to upgrade their discharge. Now, here's why I think it's – why I know it's important. Number one, The discharge, the severity of the discharge, was administered very unevenly. Depending upon where your commanding officer was with respect to acceptance, affirmation, it could be anywhere from a general discharge to a bad conduct discharge. And what that actually means is you have people who were serving and were serving honorably and were contributing to, you know, the success of the mission. And simply because either someone thought they were gay or they admitted to being gay, they were kicked out of the service. So after that, they had no access to any of the veterans' benefits, any facilities or anything of that nature. Don't Ask, Don't Tell has gone away. And I really felt like it was important for us as a state. Now, they're doing something at the national level, at the federal level, but I thought it was important for us as a state to say, listen, we care about all of our veterans. Governor Sandoval says, you know, he wants to be the most veteran-friendly state in the nation. So we care about all of our veterans. And as I said on the floor yesterday, you know, a lot of people may say, well, you know, why are we doing this for them? What they don't understand is that there are members of the LGBT community buried in Arlington National Cemetery. They have given the ultimate sacrifice. There are members of the LGBT community who have gone through Walter Reed, lost limbs, eyes. There are members of the LGBT community who have come back with TBI, PTS. And so it's important to say to them, listen, you're important to us. You were willing to put your life on the line. Your life is irreparably altered. Why wouldn't we say that to them?
And what has been the response from around the country?
You know, it's been a real positive response from around the country. I had several people on Facebook to say, why don't you move here? One was from Texas. Move here and you can be in the Senate here. You know, move here because we need this kind of progressive thought here. So it has been very encouraging. I even got a get a instant message from someone who is overseas, and they are in a same gender relationship and married, who said thank you so much, because even now, even though Don't Ask, Don't Tell has gone away, there are still some places in the military where commanding officers at a lower level are having a difficult time abiding by what the law says. I'll just put it like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What specifically, Senator, what does this do for LGBTQ veterans in Nevada? What services does it provide to them?
You know, if you're a veteran, you have access to a VA loan. If they have a BCD, a bad conduct discharge, if they have anything less than an honorable discharge, they don't have access to veterans benefits. They don't have access to VA home loans. They don't have access to the GI Bill. They don't have access to the VA. They don't have access to TRICARE. They don't have access anything that I have access to as a veteran. If they have anything less than an honorable, they don't have access to that. And what this really means is that for some of those veterans, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would just, you know, say, you know, by extrapolation, if you don't have access to those things and you're struggling to stay afloat, there's a very good possibility that you might be homeless. There's a very good possibility that before the ACA, you didn't have insurance. There's a very good possibility that if you are the child of a person who was discharged under that, there's a very good possibility that you're watching your parent, you know, languish because of something that they can't control. So this is very important. This is very important. It will lift, I'm sure it will lift several, I don't want to put a number on it, but it will lift several of our veterans out of the doldrums. And if nothing else, you know what it says? It says, Nevada respects you as a veteran. We care about you, and we're going to make sure that you are taken care of.
Senator, does this give LGBTQ veterans in Nevada access to health care through the VA?
What this does is that the Department of Veterans Affairs will set up an infrastructure for outreach so that those veterans who have a discharge that's less than honorable and it was solely based upon their status as a member of the LGBT community, if there's nothing else, no other reason, you were discharged simply because of who you are, then the outreach goes to say to them, come on, we will help you get that discharge upgraded.
Oh, okay.
And once the discharge is upgraded, now they have access to all of the veterans' benefits that are available to me.
I see.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. More with Senator Spearman when we come back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Pat Spearman. Energy is one of the hottest topics here at the legislative session. You are right in the thick of things. Where is this heading at this point in time?
I think we're in a very good place, and I anticipate that at the conclusion of this session, Nevada will have a very progressive platform, energy platform, to develop the kind of strategy that's necessary for us to become the energy leader in the world.
Is this along the same lines as Assemblyman Chris Brooks's bill?
Yes. Assemblyman Brooks and I both have the same goal in mind. We may go about it differently, but there's no daylight between the two of us in terms of what we need to do. Here in Nevada, and I say this all the time, we've got more sunshine here than they have heat and hail. We need to be doing some things with it, okay? So from a standpoint of solar in the south, geothermal in the north, and wind and bio and hydro, all of those things, we've got access to all of those things, and right now we're not doing a lot with them. So 2 weeks ago we heard Senate Bill 65, which is going to really change the regulatory structure for the PUC in terms of what they can do and what other utility companies will be asked to do. I've heard some people talk about, well, are you trying to do deregulation? I'm not trying to do deregulation. I'm trying to do re-regulation because I think it's important for us to open up the markets and make sure that people understand Nevada is open for business. And what we want to do is we want to increase our renewable energy industry, not contract it.
Let me ask you this. It seems that storage is the biggest problem. Is that correct?
Well, storage is right now. Storage is an issue. Storage is a challenge because, for two reasons. Storage is a challenge because where solar, wind, and bio, where solar and wind, basically, where they are abundant, the sun doesn't shine all the time and the wind doesn't blow all the time. So what do you do after the sun stops shining and the wind stops blowing? Well, you know, one of the companies here in Northern Nevada, you know, has taken on the task of developing storage units, not
this
just storage batteries.
But Tesla and Panasonic.
Right, right. And so they're developing the storage. And so what that will really mean is that at the time that you don't need the energy and it's that the sun is shining or the wind is blowing, then you can actually store it. Now, here's the thing for geothermal. Geothermal, which we have here in the north in abundance, we are second only to California in our ability to produce geothermal as a heat source, as an energy resource. We're second only to California, but we use less than 30% of that capacity right now. And so one of the bills that I have is for geothermal. Another reason that geothermal is important, you take storage. Okay, that's going to be really great for Southern Nevada particularly. But you take geothermal. Right now, we have one base load. That's natural gas. And we don't produce that here. If anything happens, you know, along the way with that pipeline, politically, geographically, if anything happens, what do? Because we don't have a base load. Well, geothermal is a good resource for base load.
Because it's there all the time.
It's there all the time. You don't. The sun doesn't have to shine. The wind doesn't have to blow. It's there all the time.
Senator, one of the key things of this session is the Equal Rights Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You're a key sponsor of that. It just passed the state Senate this week, 13-8. Opponents call the ERA nothing more than symbolic. They argue that the laws enacted over the past 35 years protect gender equity, equality. What do you have to say to them about the ERA when they counter with this argument?
I have three numbers that I will give them that says this is why the ERA is important. 80, 68, and 60. White women earn 80 cents for every dollar that their male counterparts earn. African-American women earn 68 cents for every dollar that their male counterparts earn. Latinas earn 60 cents for every dollar that their male counterparts earn. So if we didn't need this to be enshrined in our Constitution, why in the world would we have such a gap in terms of pay equity?
Okay, if this ERA passes, does that ensure pay equity in Nevada?
Well, you know what it does? It does for women the same thing that other amendments have done in terms of enshrining equal rights for certain groups. What this will actually do, it gives us more leverage, if you will, in terms of saying, I've been discriminated against and you have violated my constitutional rights. Right now, we cannot say that. States can pass laws. I've got a pay equity bill that will be coming up shortly. We can pass laws, but then those laws can be rescinded. People don't have to abide by them. What the Equal Rights Amendment says, purely, solely, explicitly, period, is that the rights of people will not be abridged based upon sex. It's about equality. All this other nonsense that people have tacked onto it is just that nonsense. It's about equality.
Okay, when you talk about pay equity, by putting it in the state constitution, then women can sue to get that, to get equal pay?
Well, actually there is an opportunity to sue. But as I said before, here's the problem. When it's not in the Constitution, you don't have the type of leverage that you do at any other point in time. If someone is violating your equal rights, if you've got – the press has free speech.
Mm-hmm.
We can't shut you down. Because if we shut you down, what have we done? Violated your equal rights. What the ERA will simply do, it will enshrine equal rights for women in the Constitution.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much, Senator Spearman.
Pleasure
being here. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here. He's Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. And Brian Wachter is Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. Brian, what did you think for the Assemblyman McCurdy's introduction of a legislation to ban gift card expiration dates?
You know, Sam, I think it's legislation that's in search of a problem. I think we currently have laws in place that protect consumers very heavily when it comes to when gift cards expire. I think under Mr. McCurdy's new version, money would more likely leave people or the consumer and end up back into the state unclaimed property fund and eventually then transfer to the general fund, where now with no expiration date, currently, that money always stays there and it always has value. It doesn't escheat back to the state. So it'd be very interesting to see what exactly his intent is, if it's a cleanup language or perhaps being a freshman, it's something that he wanted to consider but didn't know that we had already had a Nevada game plan for.
Let's talk about Tick Sagerblum's appearance on the program yesterday and his idea that he was going to hold hostage the ESAs for $1 billion in new revenue. Your thoughts on that, Trey?
Well, I mean, that's Tick being Tick. We know that ESAs is one of the big pressure points or argument points this session. But we also know, while the governor said it's a priority, in his budget he did not include enough money to fund all ESAs as the program exists today. So that tells me that at some point they're thinking about doing some kind of limiting a means test or something. Now, the governor said, no, I don't want to means test it. But again, he did not include enough money to fund it. So Tick's right. If you're going to fund the full thing, I don't know if it's $1 billion. That seems a bit high.
Well, no, he was just looking to raise.
Yeah, he's making the point. Yeah,
the full funding is like $80 million.
Yeah, we'll give you ESAs if you give us another huge tax increase after the largest tax increase in state history 2 years ago. So, I mean, he's being cute. But again, I don't know. I think we end up with some type of ESA program. I think it probably is, like I mentioned, some type of means tested deal. But what are the Democrats going to demand in order to let that through?
And I don't know. And that was what he gave a giant shopping list of. I mean, what do you think is realistic? I mean, is this the opening gambit or is this just Tick being funny?
I think it's neither. I don't find it funny, and I don't think it's an opening gambit. I think the issue that we have is this governor has been very astute and strategic when it comes to answering questions about current legislation. He doesn't do it until it gets to his desk. But he does send signals that if you're reading them and looking for them, you know, he says, well, that's maybe not the best thing to do or what like that. And I think an extra $1 billion in taxes under his watch in his last session, I think is highly unlikely. I think Republicans still have mixed feelings when they go back into their districts and explain things. I know I still get talked about on the 2015 session, even though we're in the 17 session. So I cannot imagine that there would be an appetite beyond, you know, the Honorable Segerbloom to actually raise taxes by $1 billion. Now, saying that, I do think at some point this session we will have to raise taxes.
And what kind of taxes would you look at?
I think we should look at the taxes that are constantly performing, that do the best, that are the broadest. And I think under current taxes, that's the modified business tax. What the state should be doing is a sales tax. And we should be opening and broadening the base on the sales tax to include some services and being able to drop that rate dramatically from, let's say, in Clark County, 8.1 down to 5%.
Well, if we're talking about taxes, I absolutely agree. Our two broad-based revenue sources, sales tax and property tax, are not in fact broad-based, and they're broken. So sales tax needs to be fixed, to Brian's point. You know, we're like a 75-80% service-based economy now. We're not taxing any of that. But our property tax system is broken as well. And if those remain broken, you know, people hate me when I say this in the building, but commerce tax was easy, right? It's easy to raise a tax on, you know, a big, huge multinational corporation. You know, it doesn't affect me, in quotes, you know, me as a person. That's what people think anyway. So if we don't fix these broad-based sources, they're going to keep coming back to us with the MBT, with the commerce tax, with whatever. We had to do WC1 in Washoe County, which would raise the sales tax to pay for school construction because the property tax system is broken. So it absolutely needs to be addressed.
And there is a structural problem.
Yes.
To say the least, and, you know, we've just seen in the last week that the Washoe County School District is looking to lay off teachers and not refill positions. They didn't raise enough money to get the job done.
Well, they claim, and again, I hate mixing that with WC1 because, you know, that money completely goes to school buildings. The Washoe County, I mean, there will never be enough money for any school district, any government agency, let's be honest. And, of course, they talk about structural problems with the property tax. They talk about health care costs going up and et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah.
You know, and the other thing we keep in economic development is good, knock on wood, we enjoy it. But even there was a proposal when the stadium in Las Vegas was first starting that the stadium would get to collect the sales tax and the property tax within a mile of the stadium. When you start giving out all these economic development plans that then don't give us the local school support tax and the basic school support tax, that's money that we're losing. That, yeah, the gamble is in 10 years we're going to get it back and people are going to spend it and, you know, and that'll work. But at a football game, you know, you weren't going to have sales tax. It was going anywhere. So we have to be cognizant on all these abatements and credits and exemptions that when we do that, we're exempting education dollars at the same time.
Let me ask you about property taxes, because obviously NACO is having a big push to get the property taxes in perpetuity into the rolls. We've got about 30 seconds here. So about 15 seconds apiece here. Where do you think this is going when we've already heard from State Senator Ben Kiekhaffer that this is a non-starter?
Well, and Michael Roberson said the same thing. I testified in favor of that bill, actually. We need property tax reform. Republicans are painting it as a tax increase. Again, it's hard. Commerce tax was easy. They're not going to do anything on property tax.
Brian?
I wouldn't have much more to add for Trey, except I think everything in March is, you know, a red line. Everything is, this is my hill to die for. And then you get to May and some of those hills have disappeared or some of them have gotten bigger, but they all still don't exist.
The hills are alive. I'm not going to finish the sentence. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, sir.
Really appreciate it. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Among the guests coming up next week, State Senator Julia Ratty and Lance Gilman. We'll see you on the next broadcast.